Hey, I'm Michael Whistler, and I sincerely believe that science fiction can help us make a better world. So what do Latinos in space, psychic kittens, and aliens who communicate by smell all have in common? Well, they're all part of the sci-fi universe created by Valerie Valdez, and that's what we're going to talk about today. This is Exploring Tomorrow. In this episode, I want to talk a little bit about what I've been reading lately. And lately, I've been checking out another author and getting to see a little bit of what she's been writing within the sci-fi universe. And it's pretty exciting, pretty cool. Valerie Valdez has two novels out. The second one just came out recently, and I was excited to check it out after reading the first one. The first novel is called Chilling Effect. And the second one is called Prime Deceptions. They're both in the same universe. In fact, Prime Deceptions is a direct sequel to Chilling Effect. So if you want to get into an ongoing series fairly early on, there's only two books out right now. I'm not sure how many she's planning on doing, but it's definitely a really fun, vast, expansive universe. Folks who like to kind of straddle that line of things that tend more towards plausible or even hard sci-fi and things that bring in aspects of softer sci-fi or fantasy elements like Star Wars does, with traveling to all kinds of different planets and being able to traverse very great distances. Valerie Valdez offers us a pretty cool kind of middle ground in all of that. I wouldn't exactly call it hard science fiction. It's not really about the science so much. She does work to make some plausible explanations for the speed at which they're able to travel and how they're able to get around and have these different gates and means to travel through to different parts of the galaxy without having to deal with the vast time and time dilation issues that we would have with just traditional travel through space and dealing with high velocities and then relativistic physics and all those kinds of things that then end up making crazy things happen, like twins not being the same age anymore when one finally turns. You know, stuff like you see in the movie Interstellar. One of the things that drew me to checking out Chilling Effect is, one, I like checking out sci-fi that isn't just written by white males, but also the prospect of getting a distinctly Latino flavor of science fiction was cool to me. I grew up in South America, in Brazil, so anything that kind of starts incorporating a little more of culture and personalities, stories of folks that are, you know, a little bit south of the border, as it were, here now that I live in the U.S. So it's always welcome. I love being able to get just that variety and different perspective and different tone. There's just a different flavor and tone. If you want to learn a lot of fun swears in Spanish, definitely you want to check these books out. It's pretty funny. And that's the thing about these books. If you're looking for a fun Latinx space opera, I mean, that's, you know, there's not exactly a lot that I know of, at least. Maybe, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Please comment and let me know, because I definitely am digging this. So if there's more out there like this, I welcome finding out about it. But I certainly have not read a lot of Latinx space opera stories that, you know, really incorporate these distinctly Latino cultural references and just a tone and outlook and view that is really unique and fun. There's a real sense of humor to these books that I welcome. They don't take themselves overly serious. And so there's like real offbeat kind of hilarity to it. At the same time, there's a real heart behind that. So what exactly are these books about? Well, they center around the story of Captain Eva Innocenti, who is a deeply flawed character. One of the things that it made me think about, that her character and her past and some of the things that she's grappling with really reminded me of is characters that you see in the TV show Lost. So many of those characters have these like very dark past, these things they're carrying with them, this dark weight, this guilt, complex they've kind of formed around that. And Eva Innocenti is kind of along those lines too. She has this dark past, and I don't want to give too much away because I really do want to encourage people to check this out. But she is a very complex, three-dimensional character, captain of this ragtag ship that's out flying through the galaxy and taking on all kinds of some barely legal, many blatantly illegal jobs. And she gets kind of roped in to a bigger mess than she ever expected when a big space cartel kidnaps her sister. And she's determined to figure out how she can save her sister. In the process, you know, you've got a whole cast of characters that are quite fascinating in their own right. I think one of the cool things about it that's really kind of an interesting thing from my perspective is the fact that there's a love story between human and non-human. It's not uncommon within science fiction that we see this type of theme play out. There's plenty of Star Trek episodes you could point to for that. There's plenty of books out there that explore that. This one's interesting just because it's the main character's female and human, and the love interest is male, other alien, and not exactly human-like. This is Vikar, who's kind of just a very non-human alien, and they communicate verbally, yes, but also extensively by smell. And so Eva has to have special nano translators that able to like pick up the particles of the smells that he's given off, and then that kind of communicates sort of emotional states that Vikar is in. And that's quite like an interesting take. I thought that's a really unique way of being able to express and develop and create a character that is definitely not human. And sort of the complications and interesting things that go along with that budding romance there. That is really quite interesting. It also features a pretty diverse cast of characters, including one of the key characters within Eva's ship. Her name's Pink, who is transgender. But one of the things that I liked about these first two books that I have checked out is that while there are references to this, to the fact that Pink is transgender, it is not what Pink's story is about, and it's not really what these books are about. It just so happens to be that Pink is transgender. And I think that's kind of a cool thing to be able to do. There's a place for good science fiction stories and good stories in general about characters who are transgender, all LGBTQ characters. And at the same time, I think there's also a place and is really a good thing to do, to see and to experience, that these characters in other stories where it isn't explicitly and expressly about their sexuality, about their journey of discovery around those kinds of things. And I think that's a really good thing, because representation matters. And let's face it, LGBTQ people were people too. So, you know, we do more than just, you know, wonder about our sexuality and have discoveries and revelations about them. So it's perfectly natural to have characters in these stories that are experiencing life and all the other things that go with it and engaging in these adventures. So I think that's a particular cool little thing. Stuff like that is cool and all great in its own right. Having diverse cast, having this Latinx perspective, like that's all cool. But if the story isn't good, if it's not entertaining, if it's not engaging, if you're not sucked in to the journey the characters are on, then it kind of, it's all for naught. And the good thing here is that Valerie Valdez is an excellent writer with a great sense of humor and a great sense of pacing and plot. And so it's just really, really entertaining stuff. It's really engaging. And the books kind of unfold in a bit of a episodic manner, where there's sort of these little vignettes that fit into the broader story of Ava's journey to in the first book in particular, save her sister from the fridge, this basically space cartel kind of crazy organization, crime syndicate in space. There's all kinds of things that she's doing along the way to try to get into the position where she can actually free her sister. The books are big and expansive in a lot of ways, but they don't feel over long. And as such, they're really quite enjoyable to read or listen to. I happened to have checked out the audiobooks, and they're incredibly enjoyable. Great listen. Very easy to get into. They're performed by Elmarie Guerra. And she does a great job of just embodying these characters and really pacing out the performances. Because it takes, it, you know, there's some real distinct humor and personality to each of these characters. So it's not the kind of book that could be handed to just any person to be read for the audiobook and expect to have this like great, fun to listen to, engaging audiobook. But thankfully, they did it right, and Guerra does a great job of just delivering great performance for these characters. And there are just definitely several moments where I just outright laughed at things the characters are saying or doing, choices they're making. But underneath that, too, is a lot of heart and a lot of struggle and a lot of awareness of the possibilities and the opportunities for these characters to grow and develop and to find redemption. So it feels like a good mix. It's a perfect set of books. No, not necessarily, but what is? At the same time, the fact that there's such a good mix of this offbeat, very sort of boisterous, fun, adventurous type tone to the characters and the way the world unfolds. There's something really beautiful about the struggles that they're facing, the uncertainties, and the internal journeys that the characters are on. It's not much of a stretch to get invested as a reader in Ava's journey through this, and especially being able to connect with her as this kind of reluctant hero. She's very much coming from this broken past, part of which is her mom basically a cop, and her dad is just an outright criminal, and they split up some time ago. And so, you know, there's a lot of baggage to be dealt with there. And it explains also why Innocente has made some of the choices she's made, has gotten wrapped up in some things like being a mercenary and doing so many things that are illegal. And that, of course, gets her into all kinds of interesting shenanigans. But what's great about it is that she is a character with a conscience who's definitely seeking to navigate this world and try to do what she can to undo her past wrongs, you know, and to make things right and to be able to atone in many ways for her past sins, as it were. I like that. I think that's a relatable journey. I think that's something that really speaks volumes to Valdez's writing and character creation skills, in that this character is in these so otherworldly situations, and yet she's so very relatable, and I'm rooting for her, and I'm empathizing with her, and I get that, like, yeah, that stuff you did in the past, that's bad, but, like, I want to believe you can grow and change. I want to believe that there's redemption for you, that you can make right on those wrongs. So as a reader, listener, I definitely was really engaged. There's some really funny journeys in there that are just feel really great in terms of just, well, kind of fuck you to patriarchy, especially in light of recent years, and especially in the first book where Innocente kind of gets, pisses off basically the wrong person, this sort of interstellar autocrat, basically, who thinks he can have any woman he just points at. And of course she says no, and well, that leads to all kinds of ongoing problems for Ava. But what's great about it is just how, like, it's at the same time funny and yet to the point and clear in how just utterly absurd and sick and twisted this crazy alien autocrat is, and how utterly necessary it is for people to stand up to these types of people and say, absolutely not, you can't just have anything you want, whether that be just claiming a territory yourself, or being able to subvert the law however you want, or looking at a woman and saying, you, mine, that's, you know, not okay. And just the way Valdez unfolds that whole scenario, it's a great just microcosm example of the two books as a whole so far, in terms of being able to handle what can be a dark and heavy topic with great depth and with great humor, to be able to, like, give it this light touch that makes it both entertaining and funny, but also doesn't take away from the ugh and creepiness of this creep, and rightfully so. I found that good. I found that really engaging and fun, and really just worthwhile with as a conversation piece, as a part of this world, of this complex and broken universe, really, that Valdez has created. It just, it mirrors beautifully and accurately and disgustingly, if it can be all those things at the same time. It does all of that. Mirrors our world in all those ways. And that's one of the great things about good science fiction like this, is that it's always going to mirror our world in some capacity, and going to ask those questions around, Even if we do find gates that allow us to travel all over the galaxy, and even if we do find other species of aliens, are we fundamentally changed as people? Or are we still just prone to many of the same pitfalls and problems? And are those other beings prone to the same problems? Or do they have their own problems? And of course, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, there's also, believe it or not, psychic cats. Yeah, there's actually a whole bunch of psychic animals that exist in this world. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of an interesting twist. I didn't know what in the world Valdez was going to do that with that in the first book when that concept was introduced. It kind of like lingers there in the background for most of the first book, just coming up here and there as an interesting tidbit, as these cats that were originally a delivery that Ava and her crew of their ship, the La Sirena Negra ship, were going to deliver. And turns out then they couldn't deliver them, and then the cats basically end up living on the ship. And they have these sort of, yeah, kind of psychic abilities where they just kind of like can kind of get in your head. But mostly they're good. They're good. They're pretty cool cats. You know, they don't cause too much trouble. They actually generally help the situation. I think Valdez is maybe a cat person. That's probably what's going on here. But what's cool is the setup is there in the first book for these creatures to be of more importance in the second book. So that was a good setup and a worthwhile payoff in the second book. And I'm eager to see where the story goes from here. There's actually several things that are set up very well in the first book that end up paying off significantly in the second book. So rather than it being a full and complete exploration of the characters in the first book, and then it's like, oh, actually, that was kind of cool or successful, let me write a second book. It seems pretty clear to me that Valdez has had a plan for multiple books. And as such, we kind of get introduced to some of Eva Innocente's big problems and her dark past. But it's not until the second book that we begin to see her have to confront a lot of those things and have to really come face to face with the consequences of some of her past choices, and then have to navigate that now as this person who's trying to be a new person in a lot of ways. So I think that's really, really cool and indicative of, here's a writer who's thinking ahead, who's planning out where she wants her characters to go, what kind of character arc or journey she wants to take the characters on, as well as the readers on. And it's highly worthwhile. It's always refreshing as a reader when you can experience that across multiple books, as it's definitely indicative of somebody who has got a good grasp of telling a good self-contained story within one book, but also being able to plan out and think about where these characters going over multiple books. So high praise there for Valdez for doing a great job with that. So again, I do recommend checking out Chilling Effect and its sequel, Prime Deceptions. They're definitely very unique, very different sci-fi space operas written by someone who I think has really got great skill, and it brings a lot to the genre and to these books. And I'm eager to see what else Valerie Valdez writes. I think she's definitely going to be a voice within the science fiction world worth keeping an eye on. And so I encourage you, if you have not checked out any of her books, please do. They're definitely available, ebook, print, and in the audiobook form, which is how I ultimately checked them out. So if you, like me, like to check out different authors and to just get a different flavor of storytelling and just a different kind of worldview, definitely want to encourage you to check out Valdez's work. So that's what I've been reading lately, or listening to, as the case may be. What do you want me to discuss next? Do you have book recommendations that I should be checking out, or movie recommendations that I should be checking out and discussing? Encourage you to comment, let me know. Also, please check out my website, michaelwisler.com. That's MikaelWisler.com. There you can find my blog posts and you can find my books. I don't love just reading sci-fi. I also love writing sci-fi. So I've got two novels and some short stories out. In fact, actually, if you sign up for my mailing list, you can get a free digital copy of my first novel, Unidentified, very X-Files-like exploration of alien abduction, if you're into that kind of thing. Feel free to hop over to my website and sign up for my mailing list, and you'll get sent a digital copy of that for free, just for signing up. You can also check out Unidentified as an audiobook, or ebook, or paperback, as well as my most recent novel, Sleepwalker, which is out in hardback and ebook. And I've got another book coming out next year. I'll keep you posted about that if you're interested. As always, I continue to dream up more episodes, but if you have suggestions, please do let me know. I am looking to bring on some more guests and have some interesting discussions around what makes science fiction meaningful and what kinds of stories have had the most impact on our world, and what kind of stories maybe we can continue to create to have a better impact on our world. So if you have thoughts, please do reach out to me and let me know. I'm always happy to craft episodes based around people's suggestions, and have done so already and plan to continue doing so. With that in mind, if you are checking us out on Apple Podcasts, please rate us real quick and leave a review. It's super helpful. On any platform that you happen to be checking this out on, it's always helpful and meaningful to me if you click that little follow button. If you check this out on YouTube, please, follow, subscribe, and hit that little bell, and you'll get the updates when I release new episodes. All right, guys, thank you so much for humoring me here as I geek out yet again about some fun science fiction books that I've been reading. And again, I do highly recommend checking out Valerie Valdez's work. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Go out there, read some good sci-fi, be well, be safe, and ask big questions. We'll see you guys later.